Hey, honeys, I have something exclusive to tell you. You can hear episodes of my show and 30 others, Harmontown, Drinky Fun Time, Dumb People Town, before anyone else on TuneIn First Play. Lucky you. You can listen right now on the TuneIn app. Play Nashville a week early. You're like living in a time machine, baby. So why don't you check it out? All you have to do is download the TuneIn app and listen for free. This is like being a podcast VIP. Don't forget, they also have live sports, news, music, audiobooks. It's enabled in Apple CarPlay, so I think you should check it out. All you have to do is go to tunein.com/NatchButte. Tune in, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, Twisting the Wind has begun, but first, a word from our sponsor, as spoken with words from me. Are you or have you ever considered sex as an option? Yes, yes you have. You're a mammal, you're listening. So here's the deal, fellows. Here's the deal, ladies. Here's the deal, anybody. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you can get 50% off. That's half off just about any item. Oh, that's not all. When you select your item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs. That's right, 3 free adult DVDs. And for just a little inspiration, AdamandEve.com is throwing in a free extra gift. It's so, so sensual. I can't even mention it here on this podcast. To top it off, guess what? You get free shipping. Free shipping on your entire order, which you got for 50% off. And you know what? That's not a joke. 50% off. You type in the promo code of WIND. That's WIND for the offer code upon checkout.
You have to do it. AdamandEve.com. 50% off. 50% off. 3 free adult DVDs plus a free extra gift. And free shipping on the whole fucking lot. Welcome to Twisting the Wind. It's a podcast. This is kind of how it starts. I guess we could say that. I guess we could say that.
How come I have to drive all the way over there? Do I have to?
I thought they were
sending a car. No.
I could have sworn. I thought.
No, that's not how it works.
No, you don't tell Jenica when to pick up her birth control.
Okay.
It doesn't work that way, motherfuckers.
In this town, you understand me? It doesn't work that way, okay? You gotta send a car to take me to the pharmacy. All I wanna do is be able to get to the beach
without having to actually drive,
but not having to not take my car. Don't you understand? Hey, my name is Johnny Pemberton. Welcome to Twisting the Wind. You've been inside it now for a while. It's just now it's really starting because it's just really right here, right now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for bearing down. You know, sometimes you have to bear down. You really have to just evacuate that mess you created that's inside of you. Those toxins, get those out, evacuate them, put them in the right place, and make sure it's clean and go about your day. So thank you for that, for bearing down, bearing with, and bearing witness. Ah, bear witness! Who's talking there? Why? Hello? What do you
think this is? You think this is some kind of a fucking joke, huh? Do you think this is some kind of like a bullshit joke podcast, Pemberton, where you can just fuck around and like say whatever you want, huh? God. What do you think iTunes thinks about this when you just like do this thing where you're fucking around for the beginning of the podcast? What about the sponsor? What about the guest? What about the person who's tuning in for the first time, huh? What are you going to say to them? You're just going to say, sorry, I was thinking about bees and fennel. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, no. When I say yeah.
Whoa, sorry about that. That was Donnie Jeffcoat. He gets a little carried away sometimes. Back to regular Twisting the Wind.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, so here's the deal. If you don't mind, please go to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. It's very easy, it's very simple, and it keeps the pipes flowing. Keeps the pipes flowing if you rate and review it, if you do a good thing there. Two, are you going to buy something from Amazon? Go to feralaudio.com, feralaudio.com, and buy it through our Amazon portal. We get money back just by you spending your normal spend on that website when you do it through us. So buy a fucking couch, get it delivered. Buy like a new hot tub complex, like a kind of hot, you know, those hot tubs they have now where it's like two hot tubs and has an underground like cold tube that stays cold even though it's connecting the two hot tubs, and you can have it like where it goes, you know, it's like a special anti-drowning underground tube connector. You can get those delivered for less than $100,000. And if you're going to get that, get it on Amazon through feralaudio.com, have it delivered, and we'll get a kickback, even though it won't cost you any more money than it normally would. It'll still be like its standard $500,000 double hot tub connector shipped in one piece. That's how it works, but we get money somehow. I don't know. I think it's probably illegal in the EU now, but whatever. Let's keep the pumps open, baby, and keep this fucking Jaguar fed. Give me some of that hot milk. Do that too. And I said, oh God, I don't even know. I don't even know what I was laughing at. But number three, however you want to say it. If you are so inclined, if you're just feeling
a certain way right now, if you're feeling a certain way, it will be really good.
If you want to contact Twisting the Wind, or reach the podcast, that is, reach the legions of people who are working on this production line right now. Clang, tump, tink. Oh, how do you do it? You go to email and you do it to twistingthewind@gmail.com. Simple as shit. If you have simple shits. Some people have complicated shits. I have complicated shits. My bowels are... It's like World War One without the Christmas armistice. Armistice. Is that how you say it? Armistice? Armist. Who's mist? Is that your mist? I felt just sort of like a refreshing, kind of like I just stepped into like one of those elevated cloud forests where there's, you know, was that your mist? Oh, it was armistice. Armistice. Yep, they stopped fighting. It's armistice. So do those three things. Contact. Buy through us. And rate and review. Rate and review is the same fucking thing. Also, let me just say this to those of you who have rated and reviewed the podcast. I am touched. People have said some very creative, nice things. You all have written some things that have made me feel so fucking great. Just so specific, so intelligent, so just creative that I want to just dive backwards in a pool of chocolate that's cool enough to drink. But not so cold as to make my skin feel uncomfortable as I'm swimming in it.
Oh, God. Oh, oh, oh. Hello? Hello, bakery.
Oh, great. I got through. Oh, wow. How's it going?
Oh, good.
Good. I've been trying to get through for like about 20 minutes now. Just there's all these problems happening.
Oh, okay.
Good. How you doing?
Go ahead. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out something to get, you know, because I'm trying to figure out what to get. My name is Kevin, by the way. And I got a buddy, Patrick, and a buddy, Phil. I'm trying to get them something because I'm about to do this this interview talk with them where we're out camping. You know, technically we already did it, and it was really good.
Did you want a cookie or a cake with something written on it?
I guess so. Can you do like a combination? Because see, here's the thing. I'm a cookie guy, but they're cake people.
Okay, I'll let you talk to the cake decorator. She'll be able to give you options.
What do you do then?
I package and I bake and I do donuts and stuff.
Oh, you know what? I love donuts the most. Don't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? How do you make them and also not and like to eat them? You know what I mean?
Oh, well, all the cakes come in frozen, and they just have to be thawed. But you have to be artistic to be able to decorate them.
But about
I'm not artistic.
Oh, what about the donuts, though? What about the donuts?
Huh?
Hello, what about the donuts?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, what about the donuts? You were just, is this a different person?
This is a cake decorator.
Okay, I was talking to a girl who said she liked the donuts.
Oh, yeah, she fries the donuts, but she said you were looking at a cookie or a cake or something.
Well,
so
it would be
me that you would want to talk to.
Yeah, okay, great. What's your name?
Jera.
Oh, hey, how do you spell that? That's a cool name.
Jera.
Wow, what's that from?
I have no idea.
Wow, I never heard that before. I heard a lot of names. I never heard that one. Is it short for something like Geraldine?
No.
Just that, huh?
Just that, yep.
Must be like Middle Eastern or something, huh?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up.
Wow, you don't know about your name. That's crazy.
Yeah.
J-E-R-A, huh?
Yep.
Well, that's a fun one. I didn't know that. I wonder if that's like a thing from a video game or something. Wow, okay.
Sure.
I got some friends. They got pretty normal names, though. Nothing like that. I got a guy named Mushdoot. I'm just kidding. I was trying to think of a name that was good. I got a friend named Patrick and a friend named Phil. And I'm talking to them on a campsite here coming up on how to do something special for them.
We have a cookie cake.
Uh-huh.
It's just a chocolate chip cookie, like a round cake that we can decorate.
What makes it a cake?
They just call it a cookie cake.
Oh, but why is
it? We just frost it, so I don't know why they call it a cookie cake. I'm not really sure. They must make it in a cake pan or something.
What do you mean? Well, what's it look like? Can you describe it?
It's just a one huge giant chocolate chip cookie.
How big is huge? Like 2 feet?
No, like 12 inches.
12 inches. How many? How
like
big is
12 inches around?
How big is that? Inches. Is that like how big
like
is an inch?
How big is an inch?
Yeah, I don't know that stuff too well.
Well, it'll feed. How many are you looking to feed?
Well, I mean, the number is not so much important because I got a couple guys here who are, you know, one of them is a gymnast. It used to be, is their primary word. And other guys, you know, he can live off the land. He's been up at 10,000 feet for weeks at a time.
Okay. So the cookie, you know what the size of a pie is?
A pie, like a standard pie, like 2 feet?
Like a regular pumpkin pie that you
so about,
in the oven.
Well, we just got one.
So it's a little bit bigger than that.
So it's a little bit bigger than an oven.
Than a pie.
Okay, so that's like
than
about
like the pie.
Like if you had like a guy's arm, the part of the man's arm that goes from the inside of the elbow to where the wrist starts, how long is that?
I don't know. I think it varies depending upon who the person is. Like
how about like an average 6 foot guy? That's how tall I am. I'm just thinking. That's why
it would probably be a little bit shorter than that.
Okay, so that's like how many inches is that? Like two?
No, it's a 12 inch round cookie.
What's that mean?
Giant cookie.
Right, but what's that mean? What's that measurement? Where's that measurement going?
12 inches. It's a circle. It's a big circle.
Is that a round or is that a cross or is that halfway across?
It's a round. It's a round. It's just one big giant circle around, like a apple pie or a pumpkin pie that you put in the oven. That's circular. It's like that. It's just a little bit wider than that.
So you mean if you took a string and you laid it around the outside and you measured that string, it would be 12 inches?
If you took a string and measured it 12 inches and then put the two ends together, that's how big it would be.
What do you mean you put the two ends together?
If you took the string and cut and you measure 12 inches, you cut 12 inches, and then you make a big circle out of it.
Okay.
And when the two ends meet that big circle, that's how big your cookie would be.
I just did that here with like a piece of string, and it looks like it's kind of small. Like the size of like a baby's face.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's not that big.
Kind of.
What do you got? How many of those can you get them together?
How can you get what together?
Because you said this is 12 inches, so that's as big as like a baby's face. What if you had it where it was a lot bigger? How can you get them bigger than that?
The cookie?
Yeah.
No, it's one size. We have just the one big circle cookie. It's a 12-inch round cookie.
Oh, okay, 12 inches around the cookie, okay. So if we did that, well, see, that sounds like enough for maybe one guy.
You could probably split it with two.
Oh, well, I don't know what kind of guys you know, but the kind of guys I know are cookie crazy.
Well,
so.
I know plenty of guys that are well over 6 feet tall, and they would probably, two of them would be able to share one of them cookies because it's thicker.
Right. So, how thick? Like as thick as it is wide?
No.
So is it like a pillar? Like a tower?
About 2-3 inches thick.
Okay, so that's as thick as it is wide.
If you want to come in and look at the cookies, we have a cookie rack right by where you walk in the grocery store aisle.
Oh, that'd be great.
If you just want to come in and look at the size of it, and then you'll know.
I wish I could right now. I just can't. I gotta know.
What do you need this for?
Well, I need it for probably Thursday.
Thursday?
But my big question here is, can they be combined?
What do you mean, can it be combined?
Is there a way you can, like, tape them together? But not with tape, but something you can eat?
No.
How about stacking them?
Can we stack them?
A giant Oreo?
No, we can't do that. We just have.
How much would it be to stack them?
We don't have a price for that.
Well, how much? Name your price. I just want them stacked.
We don't stack them. We can't stack them. You can buy two separate cookies and stick them together. I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
No, you can buy them separate, but we don't stack them because we don't have a price for that. We don't have a price tag sticker for that.
But couldn't it just be you just charge me for two of them?
I can charge you for two of them, but we can't stack them together.
Okay.
You'd have to buy them two separately.
Oh, but you said you don't know.
What do you mean?
You were like, I don't know.
No, we don't stack the cookie cakes. You can buy two cookies separately, and we can decorate them for you. We don't have a price tag for a stacked cookie.
Is that because it's dangerous?
Stack cookies together.
Is it like a dangerous thing?
What do you mean? What is the dangerous thing?
If you stack them, like, I wonder if it's an OSHA regulation. That's why they won't let you.
No, we just don't have that.
Okay. So you just can't put them together because they're like too large.
Right. They're 12 inches around.
Okay.
So you can buy however many you want, and if you want to put them together, you can do that. But we don't have a price tag to put a bunch of them, stack them up top.
So 12 inches around, about the size of a baby's face, can't stack them.
Right.
And that's because there's no price tag.
Right.
Oh, how come you can't just make a price tag?
We have to put it through our system and...
Oh, it's all about those systems. Isn't that something else, though, how those systems are just... You know, they tell you what to do. It's like who's
$8.98 a piece for one for a round cookie.
So eight. How say that again?
They're $8.99 a piece for round for one 12-inch round cookie.
That's the one that's the size of a baby's face.
Yes.
Okay. So if I get two of those, it would be what is that? $12. No.
For two of them.
Yeah.
You're looking at like $17.98, I believe.
$17.98. And when that is that with frosting or no?
Yes.
How
we
much?
Can frost and decorate it for you.
Oh, that's included in the price.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So how many do you want?
Well, that's the thing. Like I'm saying, I really want to stack them.
You're gonna stack them when you buy them?
Well, I want to have it stacked so it's like when I give it to my friends. So we're out at the campsite there, and I take it out and they're like, it's just a big cookie. I'm like, no, hold on a second, and then I take off the.
Did you want to talk to the manager?
Sure, whatever. I don't. Okay. Care. I'm fine talking to you. I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm
currently sitting in a forest-like region, in a area of semi-protected wilderness. Right.
Yeah. P&J. Protected. Partly.
There is Phil Johnson is present and Patrick Lynn is present. This is Johnny Pemberton. We are here on a very special high elevation episode of Twisting the Wind. We are above. At least 7,000 feet, maybe 8,000.
I think about 8,300.
84. Maybe we can just start this discussion with, if you can tell me the differences. Not the difference. What were we talking about before? Your, what's the first
public land? Place? Yeah.
Your public land, or what is it? Something.
Your national, well, there's always these signs that say, you know, protect your public land.
Your public land.
Because it really is. It's ours.
Right. And we're on public land right now. We're using it. We're shitting in it. We're peeing in it. Drinking in it. Eating in it. Just taking up, soaking up views and smells.
And leaving no trace.
Of course. What is the... I always mix it up. Is it leave only... leave only trace, take only pictures. Pick only pictures and take only memories.
leave trace... Well, you can't. It's impossible to leave no trace.
Right.
But
what is it? Leave only footprints, take only pictures?
Yeah, that's the inspirational calendar.
Or the hardcore one is take only memories, leave only footprints.
And carry a big stick.
Carry a big stick. And Titans to General Roosevelt.
Was he the guy that did that?
Speak softly and carry a big stick?
That was him.
I think that was Roosevelt, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy was a good one.
Yeah. But he had a lot to do with the national parks, didn't he?
Yeah, in fact, he was kind of the first president to really...
say, hey, we need some of these fucking
really
things.
Hit it up, yeah, to really designate some big acreage.
So what is the difference between now a national park and a national forest? We talked about that, right?
Yeah, well, the park is... a lot of it comes from that Teddy Roosevelt era... A lot of the old ones, Yellowstone and Yosemite and such. And the national forests are also public land, but they're more widespread. There's all kinds of them.
There's tons of them.
Yeah, they're in a lot of states. Not a lot of eastern states as much, but...
We are in the Inyo National Forest, right?
Yeah, we're in the Inyo.
But where in the Inyo National Forest, we will not say.
Yeah, let's...
We are Inyo. We're Inyo.
Yo.
Inyo, in as so far as I can yo.
We're up.
Yo.
We are up Inyo.
Up Inyo, yo, Inyo. National Forest here. And this place is unique for a number of reasons, right?
Oh, certainly is. We have the oldest trees in the world.
Which is the bristlecone pine.
Bristlecone.
We touched earlier.
Indeed.
They look pretty gnarly.
Gnarly and living only in dolomite.
And which is not a guy from the 70s, not a hardcore blaxploitation
like
mustache
dolomite.
Guy, but a type of white rock, right? Dolomite?
Yeah. It's some rocky slopes up here. They live at the tree line. So we're talking, were we at 12 or 11?
I think we were
12. Yeah, we were close to 12. We were 12.
Right.
We were over 12,000 feet. And
so they're bastards. They just soak. They like oh, no one's going to use this space, we'll just use all of it.
Yeah.
That's the bristlecone survival method.
They're holding on.
From what I read in that little placard, it said something about how bristlecone used to be everywhere, but then it became more uninhabitable.
Right.
The bristlecone was allowed to, not allowed, but it thrived above the certain height. Because
yeah.
It hang with the dolomite.
Yeah, and it's just kind of shrunk down to a few mountaintops now at this point.
They're pretty gnarly. They do look kind of like a Christian inspirational poster, but, you know.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, everyone comes out there at dawn and takes pictures, and then it's, the inspirational message just goes right below, you know.
It's just, yeah.
Change yourself.
Or we used to have one. Phil, do you remember this? Molly, do you remember our religion teacher, Mrs. W, I'll call her? Do you remember the poster she had in front of her desk that had a big picture of probably a bristlecone pine that said artist, colon, God? You remember that?
Yes.
Artist, yeah. God.
Wyrons.
Well, bleep that out now. No.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Actually, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I would love for it to... Yeah. So I heard you were talking about me, not derogatorily, just sort of referencing my classroom poster that I loved. Molly Wyrons, yeah. Artist, God.
Yep.
And she did not like it when you asked her who if you were like, excuse me, Mrs. Wyrons, who did this amazing photograph of this tree? Who's the artist of it? Oh, I'm sorry. It is God. It is God who did this. I'm sorry. Oh, but who took the picture? God took it.
He did.
God took it.
He might have.
Right. You want to elaborate a bit, Patrick, what you've been doing up here in these wild lands? Because
well,
the last time you were in the podcast, we were up in... what is it?
Somebody flashing.
It's a UFO?
Oh, yeah, we got some lights in there.
You sure it's flashing? It's not just the trees interrupting?
Yeah, they're just somebody like...
I'm seeing a steady beam right now.
Yeah, somebody's just flat. They aren't... I don't think they're signaling us.
I think it's just one of a like mind of us who's using a flashlight.
Somebody's got a headlamp on. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
You got glass them, Phil.
And this song is spooking, too.
Right.
Phil's using the glass right now to regard them across... They're on a whole... They're probably like 2 miles away, but across a deep ridge.
Yeah.
Or deep valley, sorry.
We're having a secret fire right now.
Right.
It's pretty well protected.
We're basically burning incense is what we're doing.
Yeah, we're sitting around a pile of incense.
Yeah, because we have some, this is all, everything I'm basically saying I've learned from you in the last couple of days, but I'll say we're amongst pinon pines and juniper pines.
It's P&J.
P&J, as it's called, huh?
It's,
and they're both incredibly fragrant.
Oh, they're the best.
Not like incense. Right.
Well,
so,
like we were saying, incense is... They make incense out of...
Yeah, this is incense.
This very wood.
When we first got here, I was overcome with the stink of sage.
Yeah, so, we're well above the sage.
We're deeply above it.
So so...
Yeah, last time we talked, we were up in Northern California, undisclosed location, deep in the woods, sort of in and around south, near north of San Francisco, but now we're here... And you've been out here. What have you been doing?
Indeed. I'm working with some frogs in the Sierra. Some rare frogs.
What kind of frogs?
They're called the mountain yellow-legged frog.
Mountain yellow-legged frog. How big are they, approximately?
This is a pretty classic-looking frog. Pretty textbook. And, yeah. Yeah, anyhow, textbook frog, yellow underside.
Right.
I only hesitated there because we hear some tire tracks in the distance.
I'll pause it real quick.
Yeah, that's it.
Remove ya, resumption.
Redemption.
Okay, we're talking about frogs. So this is the yellow-bellied sapsucker.
This is the
pointer.
Sapsucking yellow-bellied mountain double-legged frog.
Right.
There's actually, here's the quick rundown. 92% of these frogs have disappeared, you know, mostly in the last century.
And that's because of what exactly?
Mostly because of introduced trout and this fungus.
And how did the trout get introduced exactly?
They just were dumped in just about every lake in the high country, sometimes by plane, sometimes by, like, milk jug.
Milk jug? What do you mean, like,
the people used to just hike up a milk jug with, you know, a little fry in there.
And they just dump them, and then they start dump to procreate them in there, and spawn.
And then they're there, so frogs just got decimated.
The point of that was to create a bunch of them so they could have fishing lakes up in the high country?
Well, yeah, just the overall attitude of conservation or anything of that sort, pretty much until the 70s and 80s, was to increase sport, fishing and hunting. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a whole lot of concern for frogs or anything else. Mm-hmm. But
these frogs have been decimated by the trout populations up there?
Pretty much. They got a few strongholds, and then this fungus started coming through and started knocking off some of these strongholds. So they just suddenly, situation got a little dire. And so now there's some efforts to help them out, you know. And
you're part of the effort.
I'm part of that effort.
Hell yeah.
It's nice. It's high country, Sierra, mostly above 10,000 feet, between 10 and 13.
It's very pristine.
Yeah, for the most part up there.
It's absurdly pristine. Yeah. Everything feels like it's totally sterile because the sun up here is so intense.
It is. It's a UV.
It's just like crackling.
You can drink all the water in those lakes up there. Yeah. They're UV.
They're UV
totally
filtered,
sterile.
Origin,
yeah, just
point of source.
you can... No need to filter.
Yeah, we've had quite a bit of water to drink, and all of it from little bubbling, gurgling fountains of water tumbling down the mountainside. Yeah, it looks like that one the place we were at last night looked a lot like something you'd see in Alaska, like a miniature version of it or something.
Yeah, well, it's like tundra. It's alpine tundra up there. So
it's so high up. What were you saying about what the altitude does to the sort of the ecosystem up there?
Well, the thing is, it's tundra. It's a tundra type, so there's not a whole lot of... The season is pretty short. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get a whole lot of heat. There's a ton of snow in the winter. Sometimes it takes until the middle of July or even August to melt. The last couple of years have been really, really dry as far as snow, but it just, from the elevation, gets that same kind of harsh climate that you'd find at a latitude further north. Mm-hmm. So elevation is kind of, it's nice like that. You can travel latitudes essentially just by going up a mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's all these different plant communities grow at a specific altitude.
And there's not a whole lot of species that can survive up there, right? So it's kind of
the diversity definitely drops once you go up there. And the higher you go,
the less.
Eventually you're just bare rock. And
yeah, we were camping under like these ridges that just looked like they had been blasted by whatever.
Like,
I guess the nuclear radiation of the sun and the thin atmosphere. There's nothing there at all. All you can see, a couple of little green patches. And we climbed up one day to one part. And there's nothing there except for some old, we saw some living ones and some not living ones, but some foxtail pine, right?
Yeah, those foxtails are great there. Another really ancient tree.
Right up there with the bristlecone.
Yep.
Actually, looks cooler than the bristlecone, I'll say that.
Yeah, I think the couple that we saw on the mountain were just...
Much cooler.
They were stellar.
Yeah, they had like this real like woo to them. They're like... Pff. Like busting out. It's like if you took a picture of a dancer mid-flight, like...
Yeah, it's like some ballet. Like some tree ballet.
The one we saw had like this thing where it was like all of its arms were pointed out toward the valley, and it was dead. It was like it had been stoned, but turned to wood instead of stone, just sort of stuck out there on that ridge.
It kind of looks like there's a high wind blowing, and there's like a bunch of robes all torn up or something. It's like...
Like Tibetan prayer flags and the winds of Everest. They also have a weird thing. They taper up to a point really fast. They become that's so weird to how
when God is your artist, that's what you get. Sweet.
So what do you think God was thinking? What do you think our dear daddy God was thinking?
Dear daddy God.
So I was telling Patrick and Phil, dear listener, I was telling Patrick and Phil about this, why I keep saying dear daddy God over and over again. It's because... after I graduated from college, I was living at home and trying to figure out what the fuck to do with anything. My mom was like, you should go to this meeting at the Assisi Heights. They're trying to establish a Catholic radio station. I'm like, oh no. What? No, I shouldn't go to that. I don't want to be a part of that. She's like, no, they could use your expertise because I worked in college radio for 4.5 years, which, you know, it's directly tangential. It's directly relates to starting up a Catholic radio station, finding the funds and building a radio tower to broadcast your Catholic blast. So I go to this meeting, right? I can't remember much. It was like an hour and a half long, super boring, like a big square table. Like everyone was way too far apart and just everyone's overly nice and deferential about everything. And there's some guy, probably in his like late 50s, maybe early 60s, gray hair, looked kind of like, I don't know, like he's seen better, like he's had some rough times and he's really happy to be with Jesus now. And he passed out these little like leaflets of paper that had a prayer on them. And it started with, Dear Daddy God. Dear Daddy God.
Dear Daddy God.
I think we even went through the prayer. Dear Daddy God. Oh, so creepy. But now I understand, though. Now being up here in the high country.
Yeah, I think that we kind of got, we got that today.
Yeah, Daddy God is protecting us from cougars. Or at least so far. It'll probably be like a wicked cougar attack on this recording.
Well, just, cool, you know, whenever you're just blown away by something. Yeah. It's just, dear
Jacob.
Oh,
ooh,
Jacob.
David, look at that frog. Or, this is Phil's favorite thing. Ooh, the softest ways you say it.
What do you mean?
Ooh, about the grass.
Oh, yeah, the softest grass. Well, that was
softest grass in the...
in the world.
Yes, the softest grass in the world.
Where was this? Did you trot on?
I think it was around that lake,
up there?
Right?
Oh, yeah, lake. Those...
It was this beautiful little tufts.
Little meadow. Yeah.
This is after we stripped down to nudity and jumped in the goddamn coldest waters in the universe and got blasted by the freezing
radiation.
That was radiation.
Hot. I don't know. It was cold.
Tape's done. Or it could be a jaguar who just foiled its approach.
Jaguar.
Everything can be a jaguar. I guess jaguars, according to this PBS series I saw in a hotel room a few weeks ago, are the most widespread of cat species.
Oh, is that right?
Heads up.
I didn't even know that.
Or maybe it's leopards. I don't know.
I think they're all the same thing. Cougars, leopards.
Well, there's cougars, pumas, catamounts. Those are all the same thing, right? But jaguars and leopards are different.
What's that one that's sort of a hybrid? I really ought to know
ocelot?
This. It's like in it's in Mexico mostly.
I think it's an ocelot, a bobcat.
No, it's like a jag.
A jag stang?
Like it's a double.
And a jaguar.
It's a double.
And if you play it left-handed, you should switch the reverse of the strings, and you can be like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
I thought it's an ocelot. That's that little cat, right? Bobcat like thing.
It's got a cool name that I can't think of. It's just...
a jackfruit.
It's a little bit like...
I'm going to just stop this real quick.
Yeah. Johnny's stopping the tape. The Irie Life.
Irie tape.
Cassette.
I don't know what that little guy is called, though.
Yeah, I'm going to look... We'll solve the problem.
Jaguar.
Oh, man. Here we go. We got some... constellations just popped.
Yeah, it's beginning to get dark out here.
Last 10 minutes or so.
We're still getting some light around the rim of these ridges. And now we're seeing, we just have a sliver of a moon out here. The moon's gone? What are you talking about? The moon's
no
set.
Shit.
Do that.
The moon just went down.
I do not understand.
I thought
moon.
It was coming up.
What's the deal with the moon?
The moon.
Yeah, what's the deal with it? Like, I don't know
the whole deal?
What's the deal with the moon in terms of how we look at it? Because I never understood the cycles of the moon.
Oh, you know, when it appears
and
such.
And how come it was here and now it's
honestly, it seems to be on, you know, a regular cycle. Obviously, we can predict
it's
it.
It's a menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
You know this.
It's a good cycle.
The tide cycle.
Yeah, it's a tidal being, but
I don't get why it's.
I don't ever keep track of when it's rising or setting. Sometimes it seems like
you're not a moon guy.
Well, I am a moon guy. I'm a big moon guy.
Okay,
I'm huge on the moon. out here when the moon's bright, it's hard to sleep.
It's terrifying.
It's fucking crazy bright.
But you're also a person who has trouble sleeping in beds.
Oh, yeah. I hate beds. I don't really ever want to. I'll have to sleep in some, you know. It's going to happen, but
you need a Japanese bed, probably. Something really hard.
Yeah, that style is so much, man, it just takes up so much fucking room, too. If you live in a house and you just got this big old bed, it's like.
What if it's where the magic happens?
Well, hey, you know.
Phil sees more lights on the ridge.
Yeah, well, we got a bogey.
It could be a Mujahideen terror squad on their way here.
Oh, shit.
I love that word, Mujahideen. That's a.
Oh, there's two.
I see three.
Three, four. Oh, shit.
So that's clearly a terror squad on their way here. A lot of this area does look like pictures I've seen of the blasted valleys of Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Forming a circle.
Oh, my God. This is like a paranoia class.
Yeah.
I see it. Yeah, it's definitely a ritual going on. Which is a ritual. That is a ritual. They're getting in their car. That is a certain type of ritual. The worst of all rituals.
Piling in.
Car. Ah, the open road. Ah, the sweet baby road. Dear Daddy God, thank you for this sweet
baby. That's my daddy.
Road.
Dear Daddy Highway.
Dear Daddy Highway, you've blessed this sacred two-lane.
Let me roll on.
Take me up to where the catamount cries, and I'll.
What did you think about the drive up the 395, Johnny?
I thought it was pretty good. It's very dry.
It's a hot one.
It was hot. We had an okay time, right? I don't think we had any sort of anything interesting happen or not really. Well, I don't think so.
B-52.
Oh yeah, or was it stealth bomber?
The stealth bomber we saw.
We're pretty sure we saw a stealth bomber banking and turning, and this was right around China Lake, which is. Well, there's a goddamn missile test site, isn't there? I think that's historically there's a missile test site.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
But I think it was a model.
Could have been a model.
It seemed too close and too low to be a real B stealth bomber.
Yep.
A B-3.
Pulled over the hill.
An A-7. A Duke Niter. That was pretty eventful.
That was eventful.
Phil, what were your first impressions when you arrived at the mountaintop lake, which is approximately 10,000 feet up above sea level?
Well, that was fantastic.
It was fantastic. That was a serious trek. That was incredibly
hardcore.
That was
a serious trek.
Yeah, we were huffing and puffing. Patrick was just sort of relaxed, and you know, Patrick was carrying 60 pounds on his back.
I know. Yeah.
I was carrying about maybe 25, 30.
Yep, I was carrying about 20.
20. And
max.
We were puffing, man. It was a hard jog up there. So we drove all the way up from Owens Valley, drove all the way up to this parking spot, which is have bathrooms and bear boxes and everything. And that's about 9,200, I think is what the sign said. Then we hiked up another 1,000 feet or so, right? And then that's where the lake was. Oh, dear. Ah, the Jaguar
daddy.
Arrived. Ah, the camp Jaguar.
There's a roar.
Yeah.
Good God.
But then yesterday, to make matters more intense, we decided we'd scramble another, 1,000 feet maybe, or what?
That was great. We probably scrambled up just a random hillside.
Right.
I could honestly say we might have been the first...
We might be the first scramblers up there.
First people up to that particular spot.
Yeah, and that was, we could see the lake. There'll be pictures on the website to look at if you want to look at the pictures.
Yeah, you've got to post a few of those.
And that's where I think I fell 3 times on my ass wearing thin nylon pants and no underwear and almost literally ripped myself a new asshole on these sharp granite outcroppings.
Yeah.
As we sort of did these gravel slides down
it got a bit gnar. It was gnar.
It got some gnar.
A slight degree.
Yeah. But that was like, what, grade 3 maybe? Grade 3?
Yeah, we were doing a little bit of class 3 there.
Class 3,
With no exposure.
Exactly. This is technical climbing terms.
Yep.
I've forgotten all this stuff. I used to be obsessed with all those technical
terms for climbing. I don't think we were ever exposed. We, We weren't exposed.
What does that mean, exposed?
That's a general, I think, just kind of means if you fall, you're going to get hurt or you're done.
Like you're going to tumble.
Yeah, you're exposed. You're going
to. Okay, so
you're going to take a pretty good fall.
I think we were exposed a couple of times. I feel like I was exposed.
Yeah. There was a couple.
I envisioned my death at least four or five times. very specifically how I died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun.
That's kind of.
I think that's how you don't die. Is you
that's how you, yeah, that's how you death. Don't die because you realize those.
The gravity.
It's the people that don't have those feelings that right. that's the, they die.
Because I was thinking about one scenario would be like I sort of do an head over heel tumble, dash my head or shoulder on a rock, and I don't get unconscious, but I get like very badly hurt to the point where I can't walk, and you guys have to assist me down. So that'd
right.
be bad.
Yeah.
There's also the rock tumble death scenario where like a huge...
That's the more plausible one.
Right.
A big big boulder comes from above.
And what can you do?
Oh,
you
yeah.
You can try to get out of his way, but what if it dekes you? Like you go right and it's like, I'm going
yeah.
right too. Or actually, I'm going to my left, which is your right.
You never know which... It could just pop. It could just bounce to the left or right. You know, it could hit a mound or like another rock.
It could.
Yeah,
yeah, we definitely called rock a couple times in the descent.
Yeah, we pulled a couple. You know, actually, you rolled a pretty big one. But see, the thing is, we were our slow.
thank you, thank you.
You remember that one?
Yes, I did. It was quite large. It was sort of like a size of like a refrigerator door. It was more jagged.
But we were never on a slope where it could catch any momentum.
Yeah.
To the point where. Because, you know, it went down, what, maybe 10 feet, like yeah. just sort of slid in some gravel.
Slid.
But enough to be alarmed.
A lot of friction there.
Yeah.
What's the largest rock you've ever seen tumble?
Oh, shit. Well,
yes.
I have seen rock slides on mountains. I wasn't right there.
Okay.
I saw it from a distance.
That's
this
what
happens.
I mean. Yeah.
Occasionally. And I'll say like car size.
Jesus
I saw it.
Christ.
A couple times, I'm pretty sure it was about a car size, and it was loud and crazy too. It was really, you can hear it from a distance. It kind of sounds like thunder. But yeah, every now and then I roll a pretty good, like, human size or fridge size boulder, or move it a little bit anyway,
right.
'Cause you're climbing these steep slopes, but. Yeah.
And for what you do for counting these frogs, you have to go to some pretty remote areas of this valley. Or
yeah.
bridges, or whatever you want to call it. You have to go to this
I
area.
Just, yeah, up real high, you know.
So you're by yourself, and you just walk us through a typical day.
Well,
a typical 2 days.
Yeah.
Because it's not a day process,
no,
right?
it's more like a 10-day thing.
Okay, so let's start with day one.
So, well, day one is a...
What's for breakfast?
Usually you're talking like some dried fruit and coffee.
Okay.
Dried fruit, coffee, and something sweet.
Got it.
Some granola and some nuts.
Got it. So
and,
just like the most mountain man thing.
Yeah,
thing.
pretty classic. And then we'll just tons of hiking.
Got it.
Enormous amount of hiking to high lakes. It involves getting off the trail and...
You have a pack on, right?
Clambering over these jagged ridges. And
how much is on your back when you're doing this?
Well... Nice, you know, the nice thing is we got a lot of our supplies packed out to us by helicopter, so...
So you, how does that work?
We've got two or three spots where we've got these lock boxes, and we're able to cache food and gear in there. So we don't have to carry epic weight over these passes and such. It's very nice, but nonetheless, I have, you know, maybe 30 pounds or something.
And but so it's like it's a helicopter that drops it. How high are these boxes? How high are they up?
Oh, they about 12.
12,000.
Yeah, 12,000.
They drop just, these things. You have to like radio them in, right?
Well, the boxes are actually there. They're sort of installed there for the duration of the surveys, which for many years. I think it's been going on since like 99 or something. And so we get the helicopter drop load of food and stash it in the box, and then we're going back and forth from these sites. Covering
how long
about,
does it take you to get from where you're from down below all the way to where you're? Oh, we're getting smoked here.
Yeah, we're getting smoked up.
We're going to pause here and take a smoke break. A literal smoke break here. Literal smoke break.
Please hold while your call is being transferred.
Who brought your call?
I have no clue. I was born in 89.
A simulacrum means...
Yeah.
Happy chemtrail day.
Yes, I was my supervisor.
Johnny, hold that thought.
I can't tell you that over the phone. Do you want to get struck by lightning?
Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton on Feral Audio. Yeah. What are you doing? Are you going to check it out? Okay.
That was good.
What? That was pretty good. That was a pretty good, like,
that
little...
a quick one, yeah.
That's what we call it. A turn of phrase, I believe that's what they used to call it back in the day.
Right.
And we're back.
We're up to no good.
Here we are back up to no good at gasdiscussion.net. Some aging men sit around a fire talking about what gives them gas now as opposed to what used to give them gas.
Garlic.
Garlic. We're taking calls here now.
Never had a problem before, but lately it's...
lately it's causing havoc.
It's active.
Garlic. Anti-inflammatory. Anti-antibody. Doesn't it...
Anti-chamber.
Your, immune system or something, garlic?
Well, garlic's great.
Garlic's
it's great for you. I think the thing is I started not mincing my garlic. I like to eat it fairly whole.
You know what?
It's just
that?
Full of flavor.
You got juice on there? oh, fucking hurts. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Phil's making a... making a drink.
Phil's making a grapefruit LaCroix. Meets grapefruit juice, meets a little...
Do you think LaCroix has just... their business must have gone up like 10,000% in the last 5 years.
I don't think you're aware of
this,
Patrick, because you've been basically off the grid. Not basically, you have been off the grid for a while now. LaCroix is incredibly popular among Los Angeles-based comedians to the point where it is like... it's ridiculous.
I think the popularity is everywhere. Well, no, not everywhere, but
right.
among a certain crowd that maybe 10 years ago.
I've talked about this on many podcasts. The
LaCroix
market is over 30.
Oh, man. Yeah.
For people who are newly or somewhat newly past 30, they're okay with being past 30, and this is what you drink because you can't be drunk all the time because your body can't handle being wasted.
And you got to drink something. It's nice. It's in a can. Still
it
makes the crack sound when you open it.
It's in the can. It costs money. It's good to you, and it's bubbly. So
it's good.
Yeah, it is great.
It's good stuff. But
it's like the over 30 lager.
Twist the Wind brought to you by LaCroix. Sparkling water. Pamplemousse.
Also known as Grapefruit, not a shitty band. So there's a shitty band called Pamplemousse. And people are like, ooh, Pamplemousse. They're playing at Target in-store. Target in-store from Pamplemousse. Brought to you by Halliburton. What if Halliburton starts sponsoring like sort of like shitty indie concerts at Target?
Yeah.
Like Super Target and Halliburton
Nickelback
presents.
Three Doors Down, brought to you by Halliburton.
That's horrible. What if it was something like really bad? Put some traffic on it. Look out.
Oh, yeah, we got traffic on the road.
There's a car on the
headlights.
I got to say, I would not want to be driving on these roads at night.
Yeah.
There's some mountain roads that, like...
steep grades, sharp curves.
When we were driving down that ridge today, which was... we descended almost, 7,000 feet or 6,000 feet in a matter of 10, 15 minutes. I was... a couple times I was like, it would take so little to just kill.
Yeah. Just to say your brakes just snap.
Right.
Oh, and there's like a big curve ahead. You're done.
I didn't think about that. I thought more of like... just turning off to the right or left down a
ravine. Fucking around with your iPod or something.
Yeah. I told Phil that I would not be using my my knees to drive, which I do a lot of. I do a lot of knee driving.
Yeah, I actually prefer the knee too. I'm a knee guy.
Yeah. Knee's great for casual times, but not...
yeah, you know, you got to know when the knee's going to be a little...
think we're going to have an encounter right now? There's a car approaching.
No, I think... we're just in view of
the road,
the main road. So
it's not even a main road; it's a dirt road.
Yeah,
cutting
meaning
hills.
A scenic backwoods byway.
So the bigger question is, what the fuck is that person doing?
Yeah, what are they doing right now? Well,
what in God's name hell are they? What in Dear Daddy God's world?
They're going to do a Dear Daddy God poster. They're going to get those Don.
You think they're going up to the Bristlecones?
Yeah, they're going right up there.
The first crack.
They're going to have the tripod set up and.
Gotta have like photographer shorts with multiple pouches, special hat, the long socks.
Just all kinds of like shoulder bags.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe three or four just straps.
So you see a lot of different people up here. You must have like opinions of certain
people.
Oh
man, yeah.
Spend a lot of time in the
I was saying earlier about all this super high tech, low weight gear, mm-hmm. like all the REI shit, just all the. Everything's super low weight, high tech. A lot of things enable, for better or worse, all kinds of people to get up into these crazy places, and
which they normally would not be able to.
Yeah, get. Which you know,
it's hard shit.
In the past was rugged mountaineers. Now, and there was, I think there's some book that's you know, some girl hiked the Pacific Crest Trail and wrote a book and right. Oprah, you know, was on Oprah and then was on like the every show and
it's all it takes is a little.
It's all in, yeah. So it's just, there's like all kinds of, it's cool for the most part. Yeah. There's some of these trails that just get, there's constant traffic of the same people you'd see at the store and you're not expecting, you're
yeah,
kind of
the
like
store.
It's at the fucking store.
It's like a Trader Joe's. It's
yeah. 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 Not yeah. A place you'd see them at Trader Joe's or some shit. And they're up here and they're like pretty much lost and they got all this funny stuff. They're wearing like bells to fucking scare bear away.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. These people have bells. Not everyone, but
they're scared of bells.
This is a thing that I maybe in Alaska, if you're in, you know, Kodiak world, right. you'd put it on so bears possibly might run away.
Right.
Or either that it's the dinner bell and you're about to get eaten.
Wait, but are they a specific type of bell? Like you have a certain tone or something?
No, it's just,
just bells.
They're like Christmas bells.
So.
But the funny shit is that these people, we're above tree line, right. And you see these people with it on, and yeah, sure, I mean, bear are widespread in the mountains, but that's not, they're, you know, incredibly uncommon up there, and even if they are up there, they're no threat at all.
Unless you have baby wipes or diapers yeah. with baby shit.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's really common. I mean, I think the last big sort of bear attack or bear sort of human interaction that caused an injury was because of diapers filled with
yeah.
shit in someone's car.
Oh, yeah.
They want to eat that baby
These
shit.
Bears that live in like picnic areas, and this is mostly on the other side of the mountain where,
right.
you know, they're definitely more... they're more aggressive there. And actually there's this thing where they have a sign telling you to take your baby car seat out of your car.
Cause they'll eat the car
at the parking lot. Cause they'll rip into the car to like eat the drool off of a car seat.
That's how good human babies are. Human babies are the dynamite snack food of the universe. There's nothing sweeter or softer.
It's gotta be good.
Secretions from a human baby.
Just some sweet, like, sweet drool.
That bear will smash the back window of your Honda Civic just to get at some baby wipes or anything that smells like your baby.
Oh, Phil bought some baby powder today.
He did, that's right. Oh, we're done.
Yeah.
Put that, like, throw it over as far as you possibly can. Or attach some bells to it and throw it. And hopefully, oh, God, baby powder.
Yeah, there's people up here. It's cool. There's all kinds of people. I don't know. I've only been here for one summer. I'm just getting the initial taste. It's a big ski area up here, so the
right.
winter is going to be you know, all these hardcore backcountry ski people.
It's going to be extreme.
It's super extreme mm-hmm. out here. If you want it to be, it doesn't have to be though.
Yeah, it can be. We had a pretty mellow day today, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I think I was about to die at one point earlier today.
We pushed you guys a little hard, you know.
It's a little hard. Because I think it was the combination of the hiking plus you hard got, to sleep plus...
And the altitude, yeah.
Altitude is hard to...
Yeah, it takes a minute. You gotta adjust, get calibrate.
Invisible killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not. What's the real invisible radon?
I think that's. Or is it? Is it like undercurrents?
The invisible killer. That can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
What's the new invisible killer? Shark gas. radon. I think it is altitude, though.
Cell phone signals.
Carbon monoxide, I think. I think technically carbon monoxide has the trademark the silent, on the silent killer.
Yeah.
Because it puts you to sleep and then you're done.
Yeah.
Because you decided you would light a fire in your kitchen because you were cold.
Yeah, watch out for that.
Yeah. That's one of those things where if you die that way, I feel not as bad for you as if you die another way.
Yeah, it's a rough way to go.
Like
any kind of gas is
right. But if it's because you started a fire in your home,
yeah,
burning shit inside of a place that has a roof and it's closed in.
Right. They've been telling you not to do that from day one.
Yeah, don't do that.
Just try it.
I watched that movie with Britt. I watched the
just at least crack a window, if you're going to do that.
We watched what's it called? We watched Something and Something Make a Porno, that Kevin Smith movie. And there's one part where they have a barrel, like hobos, because their power's out, and they're burning stuff inside their apartment. I'm like, this is not good.
That's a bad influence,
You'll be dead.
Yeah,
you're dead by morning. It's like a suicide move. How'd you die? Well, I set it out, lit a fire in a 55-gallon drum in my living room.
I don't see how you couldn't know, though. I mean, it just doesn't make sense how it would be so silent.
Because it would go. Well, I guess the carbon monoxide's silent because you're
burning like some gas. You got like some gas leak or something. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
Gas leak and you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Creeping while you're sleeping. That's what carbon monoxide's new thing should be. Carbon monoxide creeping while you're sleeping. You got someone in the glass, Phil?
Yeah.
We got
someone
in the glass. All right, we got a person in the glass on the opposite ridge from us.
What do we got? Is it just a lamp, a light?
Well, it could be. There's a couple of things it could be, right? We've established this yesterday. It could be an old coot. It could be a codger.
A codger.
It could be some type of a hermit.
It's a hermitage over there.
Or you know what? It could probably most likely is because of that light. It's probably a peddler. It's probably some type of a peddler who's just checking on his wares tomorrow for the Sunday bazaar that he has once a month in his mountain shack, where he invites other coots, codgers, and otherwise mountain folk to come and pick through his chunks of shiny objects that are for sale for ludicrous prices, and some so cheap they might as well be free.
Oh,
the old mountain peddler. Oh, that's old Jacoby, the mountain peddler. Yeah, he surfaces once every quarter moon in a year to peddle some of the finest shiny rocks you've ever seen. Oh, he'll sell you some of the finest piece of shit knives you've ever seen, man. Oh, you want to see some rusty items? Go into
He's got
old
railroad
Jacoby's.
Ties.
Old Jacoby. Ooh, that's a good railroad tie. That's an old one.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't you? That's a genuine arrow point.
That's a Santa Fe.
Man. Gotta love those guys. Those three.
I wish there were more. I wish
more peddlers.
Yeah, well, just mountain hermits. I feel like it's a bygone era. There's not a lot of hermits around.
You're kind of not allowed to. Right?
Yeah, because
like
now, you know, your national lands. You can't live on them.
You can't.
You can't.
Was there
live.
A time you could or no?
There was a time you could.
When did it change?
I don't know exactly when that changed. I'm thinking it's probably in the 50s or something.
The 50s.
Yeah.
Is that when they had the codger explosion?
Yeah, that must have been.
That's when they got.
Must have been over codgered and
all these codgers who were unused in the war.
They were
felt useless when they returned, so they had like, I guess they'll set up camp.
So now it's a maximum of 14 days in any given spot. And,
is that true? 14 days.
Yeah. So then, and then you have to move camp.
What is considered moving camp, though?
You have to vacate the premises for at least a day or two. Before you can come back.
Because if you're like me, you do the thing where... If you're like me, you do the thing when you're parking. Like, you move your car forward a foot and a half.
Yeah.
Just to reset the chalk line if there
that's,
is one.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work technically up here. Yeah.
So if you're like... If you're squatting in a national forest, how many feet do you have to resettle yourself over?
I don't, I think it's got to be like a, they actually have this defined. I don't know the answer.
They,
but
they've come into some real surly coots and cottages.
Oh, this, yeah.
See, they have to lay down a lot of these.
You know,
coots.
The modern day coot is, is got the truck trailer, truck topper camper.
Okay.
And he's doing the 14-day.
That's the classic hermit and cottage.
That's where we're at now.
Okay. We're in codger country. Deep in codger country.
I hear the codgers are doing very well this year.
The codgers are doing great. Wait, so what is the law? Is they have to 14 days and they have to vacate?
You got to go somewhere else. And there's a maximum days per year, which is something like, I don't know, 100 or something.
God.
But you can't. This is only enforceable if you're staying in the same spot. And somehow there's some ranger or somebody that's counting your days. It's generally, yeah. I doubt it's an issue.
Is there some type of a coot or codger squad? The codger squad. I'm part of the elite codger squad. We're around these peaks 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, busting codgers and coots who think it's their business to stay amongst these pines.
We got another one here, Bill.
Yeah, oh,
dear. This is day 17 here.
Day 17, huh? Hey, how long have you been here?
Hey, yeah.
Oh, 13 days? Well, I just checked my contra clock. Looks like you've been here for 17 days. And these peppies don't lie. So, Ben or Jacobson or whatever your name is, you're going to have to scuttle this buddy and get on out down the road here. Maybe crash at a codger home a couple thousand feet below here. I think the codger has difficult time breathing sea level air.
You know what? This is kind of it's kind of hidden close to home.
Are you in danger?
I think I think I might actually already be one. I'm codgered up.
You're at risk of becoming a coot. I've noticed some language coming out of your mouth that is slightly disdainful to people of a non-codger entity.
I'm afraid.
The disdain for beds.
Yeah.
This is some. Yeah.
All the warning signs are in place.
These are classic warning signs to an eventual, probable coot codger.
Look, did you see my codger mobile? My van is.
Codging deep.
It's pretty much a hermit cave,
though. It's very colorful.
Yeah. You got to make your place nice if you're going to hermit up.
You do have wares you can peddle, though.
I actually have wares.
You do have wares.
I should be. I need to get a. I need to get a nice blanket and.
Oh yeah.
And start hitting the markets.
We should spike this podcast with a few musical flavors.
Oh,
shall we?
Should I bust out some 45s?
Let's do it. Let's take.
I've got a hot selection.
Let's do it.
Oh man.
Okay, breaking.
It's a good track,
Okay, now we've got a Fireside Tunes going about right now. What is that? What kind of player is that? That's a Zenith?
It's a Zenith, yeah.
So that's a little portable 45, battery-operated 45 only, right?
Yeah.
It's too small for 12 inches?
No, you can throw.
Really? It seems like it's too small, but I guess
I'll use on there.
I've never seen one like this before. Does it have a handle?
It's a beauty. It doesn't have a handle.
Does it have like a case?
It's got a little top.
A topper.
Yeah.
Got it. So,
what do you want? Should I like R&B, soul?
Let's do. Let's hear whatever you want to play.
Here's a great. You know the Artistics, right?
Yeah, I think I do.
Price of Love.
The price of the something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that it?
Well, this is a different one. This is a new one I just got. It's called The Chase Is On.
The Chase Is On.
The chase is on. You've been running away from me. I'm gonna chase you, girl, until you see that you're running.
This is playing a little bit fast. This is like 3% fast.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
That's really cracking right there. What was that? Yeah. The Artistics?
That was the Artistics on Brunswick.
What was it called?
The Chase is On. God, they're great. The Artistics was
That's a
awesome
New York
group.
Band?
Chicago. So
Brunswick is New York,
Brunswick
right?
is almost all Chicago.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, like the Shy Lights.
Brunswick is Shy Lights,
A bunch of... yeah, here's one. I think we're going to slow this one down. We're going to... This is
here?
Really great. This is you're gonna love this, Johnny.
Sounds good. This is
Stan Wilson.
This seems like is this some capital country?
No, no. I had no idea what to expect. It's on a country-ish label called Cavalier.
Cavalier, okay. But like a red label Capital.
Oh shit. Yeah, we'll play it at the regular speed here first. But then we're gonna play it again.
No, just started it slow.
We'll start it slow and speed it up. I really like it slow, though.
There's so many records that the chief reason to own a 45 is so you can play it too slow.
We know it was his nobody great. It was love that caused him to abdicate. Tell me what has he got, his old intent was enjoyed by the British sovereignty. On the 10th of December we heard the talk that they gave the throne to the Duke of York. When tried to break down his plan, he said, I must have the American.
Well, we got the money and we got the talk and the fancy walk. Yes, to shoot New York. And if I can't get the boat to set me free, then I'll walk Jimmy Simpson across the sea. I got me robes and me collars upon my mind, but I cannot leave me Simpson behind. Well, you can have me throne, you can take me crown, but leave me on me Simpson alone. He could see me Simpson walk in the street. He would fall and sway with the boogie beat. So let the organ roll, let the church bell ring. Good luck to the woman, what's still a king? Now on the annals of history is left the report for intended he.
It's pretty cool. So that's like that's an island number, I believe, huh?
Yeah, that's some calypso. It says on here, unique song stylist.
Damn.
On the record.
It's a pretty dark song there.
It's yeah.
About stealing a king? Kidnapping?
No, it's about a king that leaves his throne for the love of a woman.
Damn, don't leave, king.
And
that's very dark sounding. I feel like
I really like that.
Is that classified? It's almost like a popcorn kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it kind of falls. It's got the dark kind of
what
sound.
What makes popcorn popcorn? You want to talk about that for
Oh, yeah, and I don't really know.
No, you do.
No, I don't. All those
about?
Terms I feel like Well, so here's...
It just helps sort of
so
sell it's, stuff, right?
In Belgium, right? Okay. And this is like... I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Maybe late 60s or something.
Right.
All these cats in Belgium started getting into this sort of like oldie-sounding stuff. And that's different than the typical soul records that people were spinning in England and
very
such.
Very minor. Very dark.
Yeah, well... Well, actually, a lot of the minor key stuff is what they call new breed R&B, which I don't know. That's
right.
Not a very good term. New breed.
Is it NU breed?
No.
Not that bad.
It's not that bad.
So then what makes the popcorn then?
To me, it's a lot of the records that are called popcorn I just like, and they seem to cover a spectrum of stuff, but a lot of them, a lot of the new breed stuff gets called popcorn. A lot of the kind of like off-kilter oldies get called popcorn.
What makes it?
It's just kind of, to me, it seems like it's an off-kilter,
esoteric kind
old R&B number. A lot of times R&B soul, like just obscurities, a little bit of exotica in there. And
there's some song, I think it was by these pair of guys from LA that you have, and it's, you said
Brown and Green.
Yeah, that's so, you said it's kind of like that, a quintessential, right? Popcorn song.
Like a quintessential here. You know,
okay,
why don't we play? I have exactly like a very, very typical popcorn record.
A lot of the stuff is more, it's kind of like the marketing end of it, right? Like if you go on eBay,
sure,
you're going to tag stuff with psych.
You throw on these terms so that the right people see your ad or whatever.
It's like a hashtag for music before
It's exactly that.
So. It's funny, though, because the word popcorn doesn't seem anything like what you think.
Yeah,
it sounds like.
I think some of it does. It's kind of like weird Halloween-y, cartoony Halloween-y stuff. That's
a good way to describe it.
So that, in a way, that seems to fit. But, yeah, really is a lot of people are kind of discovering all these obscure things. And, you know, for lack of a better term, popcorn has come up and... I like popcorn. Mm-hmm. You know what? There,
it's
said
pretty
it.
Great, I like it.
Yep. So here it is. This one is by Donna D.
Donna D.
Donna D. on the RCA label.
Great.
This is pretty classic.
We're looking at here, you think.
So here we go. That's Donna D.
Donna D.
Like nobody's going to hurt you.
The letter D or D-E?
That's D-double-E.
D-double-E. Donna D, nobody's going to hurt you. Yeah, that's pretty dark.
Yeah, I love that guitar line.
Yeah.
Just kind of
has a cool squeak
clicks.
To it,
and he's got the, yeah, she's got that thing, that like Charlie Feathers thing going on.
Yeah, or like, what's her name, Ruth Brown kind of has?
Or like, I can't tell. Yeah, I mean, Ruth Brown is one of my favorites. She's also a popcorn favorite. Mm-hmm. Laverne Baker as well. But she kind of sounds like Wanda Jackson to me or something.
Okay,
like Wanda Jackson mixed with, I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, she's got that little squeaky thing. Popcorn.
Definitely some death. I'm going to pause it here real quick or stop, and we'll come back with some smoke.
Hi, this is Supervisor. May I help you?
Hey, yo, how's it going there? Good. I'm doing good. I'm just trying to figure out this whole thing with the cookies. You know, I got to surprise a couple guys on a camping trip coming up here, and they're big.
Well, we sell our cookies for $8.98 a piece.
Got it.
And if you want them stacked as high as you want to, we can do that as far as many as you would like to, but they will come out at $8.98 a piece, though.
I didn't know that. She said you couldn't stack them.
Well, if you pay for it and want us to do that, we can do it for you.
Oh, my gosh.
If that's what you like.
Oh, yeah, that's
maybe
definitely.
Maybe she thought you were looking for a price for a stacked version, but we can, if you like, you know, you want four cookies, we charge you $8.98 a piece, but we can, you know, put icing in the middle of each layer for you and decorate the top layer if you'd like.
Oh, wow, that's exactly what I'm thinking also, but I want to think, that's pretty cool. Okay, well, let me do a little recon now that I got this knowledge. And see just about how much we can stack. Because I want to do three, but I might go for four, maybe as little as two, depending on what the missus says here, because she's the budgetary. I just want to make sure it's possible. What was her name again?
Okay. My name's Lois.
Lois.
L-O-I-S.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for helping it out. And we'll get back in there. I'm going to talk to these Patrick and Phil about the camp thing, because we're going to be at elevation. And have you ever been high in elevation before?
No, I have not.
Neither have I, and I don't know.
Let me take you back. I have climbed Stone Mountain, in Stone Mountain, Georgia. I have climbed that mountain, but
Oh, wow.
I can't remember how high I was. I have climbed a few mountains.
Well, so can you tell me this? Do you remember when you were up there, if it was like you were more hungry or less hungry?
You know, I went up, when we went up, I was up there for quite a while, because we climbed it, everything. When I first got up there, I was more or less thirsty.
Okay.
As far as eating, I didn't want to eat any more or any less or anything like that. It was just, you know, if I ate a good meal before I left, I think I was just fine and everything.
Cool.
And then about lunchtime, I was ready to go to lunch. That's about it. So I don't think any more or any less, depending on how high you're climbing.
Hmm. That sounds pretty interesting. How long did it take you to get up to the top there?
It was 1.3 miles up, so it didn't take an hour or so climbing, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad, yeah. This we're talking about probably 3 hours, so I guess maybe we'll be less hungry.
You might be a little bit more hungry because it's taking a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You'll want some snacks and stuff going up, to pick and eat at, and when you get to the top here, you know, depending on how much you pick and eat at going up, you might want some more to eat.
What would be cool, but I don't know if it's possible, would be to do like a thing where you have a cookie that's like a cup. That would be fun. You could drink out of it, drink like a Coke out of that, and then once you're done with the Coke, you eat the cup.
Okay, yeah.
Do you guys do that or no?
I didn't do it myself.
Okay.
But, So, like I said, we went up for the day and we spent a couple hours at the top of the mountain and then we climbed back down and that was it.
So you're an adventurer or would you say that was?
Well, for me, it was a place that my family grew up, so it was something that I did pretty much every year until I was probably 25.
Oh.
And I don't go as often as I do. And now, being a little bit older, I don't have as much ambition to climb it as much as I used to. But when I take somebody new, I do it just so that they can experience.
That sounds like a real good tradition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We need more of those as people.
Yeah, it definitely was a tradition. Every time I get to go down to Georgia, I definitely go to Stone Mountain and hang out there for the day and stuff.
It's beautiful. There's probably all types of things that you can see there that are unchanged for thousands of years.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a good thing. There's these trees that we saw that are very old.
Excuse me?
Some old trees are always good.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that, like, because of Georgia's elevation, you know, being close to Florida's, when the mountain actually rose at the top, when it rains, there's little, like, sea animals in the top of the, in the puddles up on top of the mountain.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool. If you ever get a chance to go down there, you should absolutely experience it.
Okay, I'll definitely bring that up to my adventuring party, and thank you so much, Lois.
Oh, absolutely. You have a wonderful evening, okay?
Bonne chance. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
I can't believe how cold it is. It's so cold
up here. Are you fucking serious? Don't you fucking
talk to me.
Look at me so. Now you think so.
I think it's so cold.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.